So we're going to do the Ramah part two. Okay, so where's Ramah? Where are we? We're in Poland, right? We're part of Polish...
You've been in Yeshua, right? Have you?
Never.
I was in Yeshua.
We're waiting. We'll have to take the Kola on a trip. Yeah?
It's kind of also to take a...
It's a small...
What is it now? Why is it Usher? Okay. I mean, just as a tour. To go through a shul as a tour would be an issue.
But you could daven.
We could daven there for sure. Okay. So where are we?
It's much smaller than this room. Much smaller.
We're in Poland, yeah? We're in Poland. We're not in the shul right now. We're in the greater Krakow area. And what have we written so far? So there were a few points that we left off not so clear on. Number one, who was the second father-in-law of the Ramah? The answer is, his name was Katz, Rabbi Yosef Katz, the She'eris Yosef. One of the famous Gedolim of his time, but again, doesn't mean much to the average person of our time. But that was the second one. The first marriage was of Shalom Shachna, who was the biggest Talmud of Rabbi Yaakov Polak, who was the father of Pilpul, who was the head of the Torah world in Poland. Then she passed away after having, I believe, 3 children. Then he remarried. Now, what other svarim did he have? He also wrote a sefer called Torah Ha'olah, which is about Karbonis. Torah Ha'olah. What else did he write? He wrote Darkei Moshe. He wrote Ramah, which is called the Mapa, the tablecloth, which is, again, adding an addendumizing the Shulchan Aruch.
Is it meant to be a tablecloth on top of the Shulchan Aruch?
Yes. And that's why, as we've mentioned, the Noisei Kalim, they're coming, bringing all the Kalim to the table. That's why they're called Noisei Kalim, because we're in the midst of decorating this table. And then...
How do you do with the Noisei Kalim on any other side? Like Noisei Kalim on the Rambam?
It's a borrowed term.
Yeah.
It's a borrowed term. It's a borrowed term. Yeah. So, there's no Noisei Kalim on any other Zaver. In essence, there shouldn't be. But there are. We use it. So, what else do we have? Mechir Yain, we've mentioned, on Megillas Esther. And a few other random ones. Now, where did he stand on Chachma Chitzoin, which we've mentioned? So he definitely was pro. In that regard, he would be in line with, you name your gadol, let's pick the Rambam.
The Rav.
Yeah.
The Rebbe.
Yeah. Rabbi Huttner. These things are, you know, like we always say, Ein Chadosh Tachas HaShemesh, these same hot topics are recurring. So,
the Rashba,
do you want to know, at the end, at the end of Spain and Spanish Torah kingdom, there was a lot of philosophy going on. That's why we have the Balakeda. The Balakeda, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, was fluent in philosophy. And that's why he wrote the Akeda, which is heavy, heavy philosophy, rivaling the Mor Nevuchim in heavy philosophy, because he was trying to integrate that philosophy into, you know, the drushas that he gave ala Torah, and integrating it into, you know, pure Torah Ashkafa, trying to synthesize the two. So that is the Ramah. Also learned such a thing. Again, one of his Talmidim was the Tzemach David, who was a historian. And history, by and large, is not for some reason promoted amongst the Charedim L'Dvar Hashem, which is, again, something to explore why that is. And where else are we? So now, this is the cool part about the Ramah. The Ramah ended up being the Pesach Achron in Ashkenazi Psak. The same way Maran Bet Yosef is the king of Svardim, the Ramah is the king of Ashkenazi. So much so, Reb Avadi Yosef, when he wants to go and reference, you know, there's a sheet of the Ramah, can the Svardi rely on the Ramah? So he very often writes in some of his tshuvas, Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. A cute play on words. an aleph instead of a hey. Ubnei Yisrael Yotzim Biyad Ramah. And you know, you can always rely on the Ramah. It's definitely what to rely on. So now there's actually Klalei Apsak. There's Klalei Apsak when we get to the two. And as we mentioned in the very first shir, the introduction. No, something else. In Svardi Psak. Again, we have no Svardim here tonight. But if any Svardi ever listens to it, in Svardi Psak, there's a big world war. Big, big. This is the heart of the biggest halachic debates in the Svardi world today. Because however it came to be, as the generations came, right? So there's always the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and the Bet Yosef, the Beis Yosef, as we call him, and the Rambam. Now, who were the greatest Svardi Poiskim of the respective generations? So, by the Rishonim, it was very clear, right? At the end of the Spanish Gedolim, it was the Rashba, right? Hands down. The Tur grew up in Spain, and he was Ashkenazi, but he definitely of the Gedolim. What? The Rambam was much earlier. Then we have the Beis Yosef. Then, after that, you have to ask your local Sfardim. I don't want to do a disservice or leave anyone out. But the Sfardi Gedolim, as the Torah world starts to blossom in Europe, the Sfardi Gedolim are not as much in the limelight. We'll say it like that. Not as much in the limelight. They're not as numerous as the Ashkenazim, who then start sprouting. So, before we get to the Sfardim for a moment, I just want to... Okay, let's finish the Sfardim, we'll go to the next point after. The Sfardim, one of the biggest Sfardi poskim of 150 years ago, was the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai was... Again, I've had a Chavrusa, I've mentioned him before. He was a staunch Iraqi. Iraqi Jewry definitely have a very, very strong Masorah going back, very, very far back to Sfardi Psak, going back to Beis Yosef in lineage, for sure. And the Ben Ish Chai was the king. Whatever the Ben Ish Chai said goes, and it really, his influence spanned the entire Sfardi world. Now the Ben Ish Chai did something, I don't believe he was the innovator, but he definitely, very often, if there was a Rama who was more machmir than the Mechaber, than the Shulchan Aruch, he would be choshesh for the Rama. Which is against Sfardi pride, which is against Sfardi Mahalach. Yet, the Ben Ish Chai did. He supposedly got it from his grandfather, Chacham Chaim, right? His name was Reb Yosef, surname Chaim. They took last name. They took first names as last names in Iraq. So, then, as Sfardim, the Sfardi Poiskim came out, the Kafa Chaim, who's one of, you know, the next generation, who actually married a granddaughter of the Ben Ish Chai, the Kafa Chaim follows in line and follows the Psak that he got from the Ben Ish Chai and is Choshesh for every Ramah, which in essence would turn the Ramah into the breadwinner, so to speak, because even the Sfardim are Choshesh for the Ramah's Chumras. Then a very big revolutionist named Reb Avadya Yosef came, and he wrote a sefer first, Halichot Olam, which was all of his ha'aras on the Ben Ish Chai, which every ha'ara was not just a question, it was a disagreement. And that was the stage for his new mahalich of Maran Bet Yosef at all costs. So that's why Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul and his Tshuva Svarim differ from Chacham Ovadia, because that's where they diverged. Do we, and this is over the Ramah, the very point of contention is over the Ramah, that's how much weight the Ramah held in their eyes. The Ramah, according to the Ben Ish Chai, Kaf HaChayim, Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, you have to be machmir for Ramahs, whereas Rabbi Avadia says, Maran Pet Yosef, and he takes it so far, as we mentioned before, he says he's the Mora Da'ara de Yisrael.
About the
Bet Yosef. Mora Da'ara de Yisrael, and anyone who's in Eretz Yisrael is kafuf, is bound to his sukkim.
Even Ashkenazim?
Even Ashkenazim. That's what Rav Adya holds.
No, and then in Chutz La'aretz is not about
that. In Chutz La'aretz Lav Davka, because he was Mor Da'ara Yisrael. Fine. So that's just the extent of how far the Ramah went and how far his influence reached. Then there's another facet that evolved. As we mentioned, there's many pirushim on many different steps, right? For all we know, in 100 years from now, the Mishnah Berurah will be, again, this is a theory, the Mishnah Berurah would be in the same light as the Neid Yehuda. No, again, there was no Neid Yehuda. Didn't was just a tshuva sefer. The same light as the Magen Avraham, because there'll be a new pirush in 150 years from now that will again be malakid likute basar likute, keeping malakid all the different opinions, and that's really what happened every generation. And people started writing pirushim on the sefer that they thought would be it. So when the Shulchan Aruch came out, so the Noisei Kelim got working. It was a sefer sasum. It was very close and didn't give any reasonings. So therefore they needed to expound, and they did. Really, you should go back to the Beis Yosef to expound and to see how he got to his conclusion, but people didn't. That's why there was so much opposition to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So what happened? Noisei Kelim started being mefalpel beyond what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah actually write. Who came along and wrote a new one? The Lavush. I don't know if we'll get to him in his own week. The Lavush was Rav Mordechai Yaffe, who was a Talmud of the Ramah. Rosh Shiva and a Rav in Prague, right before at the same time as the Maral. They live in the same time period. And another correction from last week, the Maral I mentioned, his name was Rav Yehuda Lowy. It's not Lowy, his name was Leva. Lamed Yud Vav Vav Aleph. Leva. Good question. That's a bombshell. I have no answer. How to answer Rabbi Kunda's tape, who seems to say his name is Lowy. They claim that Leva is the German form of Leib, because his name was Yehuda. Yehuda, Leib. Leib in German was Leva. So much so, I went looking in the Shema Gedolim of the Chida for Yehuda, the Maral. I gave on the Maral recently. I couldn't find him. I found him as Reb Leva, as a first name. Yeah, so I just mentioned that last week, and I wanted to just clarify that point. So I don't know, that somehow Leva turned into Lowy, and that's how we have the Maral as being Mishpachas surname Lowy, but I don't believe that's so simple at all. But who came along? The Lavush came and wrote a new Shulchan Aruch, so to speak. What was he trying to do? He's trying to integrate. First of all, many times he integrated the psukim of his Rebbe, the Ramah, and threw in a lot of taimim, a lot of reasons, taimim, to, you know, address that issue. He didn't want it to be as lengthy as the Beis Yosef, but he wanted it to be a little bit more taimim. So he made the Lavush, which was trying to accomplish this middle ground. And that's why, all of a sudden, there's lots of pirushim on the Lavush. The El Yerabah is a pirush on the Lavush. The Tosis Yontef writes a pirush on the Lavush. And everyone starts writing pirushim on the Lavush.
Everyone wanted to get the most popular sefer.
That's one way to say it, or everyone wanted to be Marbe and Marbe Tzorah.
I'm trying to say what you said.
Yeah. That's what, I always like to play devil's advocate, and I would mention that, and now I'm playing the other side. Fair. Then, now another one is Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, was written by Rav Shlomo Ganzfried. And there's many pirushim on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that came out about 120 years ago. Miskeres HaShulchan, Mincha Shabbos, and others.
And what about the Chayyadam?
Chayyadam, there's no pirushim on the Chayyadam. How ironic. What? On the Graz. No, not on the Shulchan Aruch Harav either. Again, maybe they were more succinct. Again, I don't know. That's a fascinating point. But as an aside, why was the sefer called Chayyadam? Yeah, very good. Okay, good. I wanted to make sure everyone's listening.
I didn't know if you were joking.
It was a serious thing.
Oh, really?
It's a serious thing. The reason why it's called Chayyadam is because, yeah, I said this. Shulchan Aruch turned into a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
And Shla turned into a Kitzur HaShla. He didn't want his sefer to be turned into a smaller, abridged version, a Kitzur. So therefore, he named his sefer Chayyadam. Because no one's going to write a Kitzur Chayyadam. It's just not appropriate.
What is it based on?
It's based on Ashkenazi Psak.
Right.
Based on Ashkenazi Psak. And as the generations, you know, there was a Chevr Mishnayis, there was a Chevr of Chai Adam. There was the Ein Yaakov Chaburas and the Chevr Mishnayis Chaburas and the Chai Adam Chaburas. It was the safer until the Aruch HaShulchan came along, until the Mishnah Berurah came along. So there's definitely a lot to talk about as we, the evolving of every single Halacha Sefer. Where are we with Ramah? Have we finished all of our points? So we had the Labush who went and wrote on the Ramah. We had Klai Sol Yoytzim Biyad Ramah. We have the Svardim integrating the Ramah. At least some of them now. But the Bravadi definitely made waves and has many, many followers who follow Maran Bet Yosef at all costs. And he was buried in Krakow. And he was died on Lag BaOmer. His yahrzeit is on Lag BaOmer. So there's a folk tale that he's Ben Lamed Gimel in the year Shin Lamed Gimel, and he was aboard died on Lag BaOmer Lamed Gimel. But if you check in many histories for him, they all say he was 52. It's not true. What?
He was 52.
So yeah, that's fine. He died on Lag BaOmer. That is his yahrzeit, and it says like here on his matziva. I saw in one sefer brought down. It says. He was a shepherd, Moshe. Even Israel, b'yom gal lemispar b'nei Israel, gala kivoyim Israel. On yom gal lag b'omer, he left us. Moshe hayah royet soin Israel, tzidkas Hashem asa u'mishpatav im Israel. Again, echoing Moshe Rabbeinu, here b'tzayim Israel, hemet hamidim l'revavei salfi Israel, mi Moshe ad Moshe lekam ki Moshe.
Say that on the Rambam's
calendar. As well. Yeah. V'zayi seres achatos ha'asham asher shamoyis l'fenim Israel, shin lamed beis. And that's the Ramah. Next week, we're going to move on to a new Torah personnel.